All right, guys, so last time on Cross Connection Acts, we broke down this incredible message that Paul and Barnabas delivered.
But this message was met with rejection and persecution.
All right, guys, here we go. Another episode of Cross Connection Acts. Thanks so much for joining us, and thank you for joining us at home. We're excited to have you as part of Cross Connection Acts. So, Oleg, we broke down what we called the adventures of Paul and Barnabas, this incredible message that they delivered to that audience there in the synagogue. And now we're going to take a look at the same message, but really break down the reaction to it.
Exactly. So we're still in Acts chapter 13, which is verses 13 to all the way to the end. So I would like to encourage you also to make sure that you read this chapter. So you can pause and read, or you can just read after the show, or just and then watch
whatever
the show
you
again.
Want, you know.
But make sure to read it as well. So I would like us to take a look at the map again, because we are traveling with Paul all around the Mediterranean world, and this is what we see, Paul and Barnabas. And in this case, what we see actually happening, that they move from all the way from Antioch. And this is what I want you to see, of course, which is right here. So they moved from Antioch to Cyprus, and then from Cyprus they went to Perga and all the way to Pisidia. Did you see Pisidia? Pisidia, Antioch. So you see, there is a little city that is right here, Tarsus. Remember, we call Paul sometimes, Paul of
Tarsus.
Right.
So this is his home turf.
Right.
This is, he comes back to the synagogue, that is, synagogue setting that is very familiar to him. He knows the songs that they sing.
Right.
He knows the scripture that they read. He knows the language. He knows the food that they serve.
Right.
So
right.
He knows this land. And now he delivers this message about new, so it's the same old message with the new meaning.
Right.
The
right.
message of Jesus. And we see three groups, the three reactions.
Right.
To this message.
Right.
The first is acceptance.
So which is the overwhelming majority, by the way.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, let's see. Let's see what it is. Let's read verse 43. So it's chapter 13, verse 43.
When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God.
It sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know.
So the first reaction is acceptance.
Yep.
So when we talk about the scripture, what kind of reactions do we usually anticipate, and how do you think, and why do you think they actually accepted the scripture? Like, why did they accept the message? Why do you think the message was accepted?
Like, well, Justin, go ahead.
Just in reading the message that he presented to them, he presents it in their context, you know, the context of the history of the Jewish people and how Jesus fulfills the things that they've been waiting for. So I think he presented it to them in a way that they could accept it, maybe.
Yeah. I think when in looking at the acceptance, it would be helpful to see who is accepting. And I think, obviously, this is a Gentile audience that is responding very positively to this, because Paul is presenting a message. Here's this thread that happens throughout all of the scriptures. Here's this covenant, and here's how it's fulfilled in Jesus, and now it's open even to you. It was shut off to you before, it's open to you, and I think that's people are going to respond very positively to that, where it's like, wait, even me too? You know, so, and we see them accepting.
Exactly, and what we see in verse 43, so it's, there was the Jews, because otherwise, if you told me the story of the Jews, I wouldn't probably understand it if it wasn't my story.
Yes, exactly.
If it was my story. So what he says, he describes this narrative where they every individual can relate to.
Yes.
And then he says, oh, let me tell you, but this all fulfills is fulfilled in Jesus. But then there's what you rightfully pointed out, that there were also proselytes, which is basically
converts.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
Into Judaism, but they are Gentiles.
Yes.
So they're not Jews. So this is not necessarily their story.
Right.
But they can also be part of this story.
Yeah, they were familiar with the story.
But they were kept out of it.
They were kept out of it.
Exactly.
Exactly. And now they're welcomed into it.
So, but this is a very interesting lesson that we also need to learn. Because, look, the scripture, if you read the story of the Old Testament, it's not necessarily our story. It's the story of a Jewish nation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, and then, but many of us in Christian environment and Christian settings, we apply the same stories to ourselves.
Yes. Yeah.
So what is it? What? Why? And is it right or wrong?
Well, I think it's necessary. I would like to submit that I don't think that it was necessarily the method that he's using, because we've seen this method used many times before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stephen uses it and gets stoned because of it. Paul uses it multiple times and gets stoned because of it. Christ used it and got killed because of it.
Yes,
I don't think it was necessarily the method. Mm. I think it's the Spirit. It's the same way that it's the acts of the Spirit and God works in us to will and to do his way.
Right.
The Spirit is responding, and it blows where it wills.
Right.
You don't know where it's going, but it caused this entire, that's the more amazing thing to me, is not necessarily how it did it, but that the entire city almost came out to be like, wait, what are you talking about?
But was the Spirit not involved in the other times when stonings happened?
Oh, you're right. Yeah. It definitely would have been, because the Spirit convicts.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's an interesting thing to I don't know that we're asked why some people accept and others don't, but it's just interesting that I guess what is consistent is that there is a strong reaction to the gospel.
Yes.
The gospel agitates us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The gospel stirs us out of whatever condition we're in. And I think even for those, since we're spending this portion of the show looking at people that are accepting, the people that react in an accepting way, even those who accept, that's not a static move. You know, they are making the choice to move into that and say, I'm accepting it. So I'm being agitated in the way of acceptance. So the gospel jolts us out of our apathy, and I think we see every possible reaction as a possibility. But you do react to the gospels. There's no such thing as an inert reaction to the gospel.
But this is interesting, because we can actually learn about also the message, and we can also learn the outcome. Looking at the second half, the last half of verse 43, so they persuaded them to continue in the grace of God.
Yeah.
So you see, there was a persuasion to continue. So they already were living in what?
In the grace of God.
Yes.
So, and then the continuation is, we just continue. So let us continue.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing now in the grace of God, knowing that the scripture is fulfilled in Jesus, knowing Jesus fully.
I gotta say, for me, it's been an almost surprising recurring theme in the book of Acts. This idea that the apostles are not working to present God to people.
What he's already done.
Exactly. Yes. And they're revealing Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the journey they're already on. Or Cornelius already had a relationship with God.
Yes.
Already. Indeed, Peter goes and you're missing Jesus. Lydia, who we'll read about later, she already had a relationship with God.
But you're missing Jesus.
Paul tells her about Jesus, not about God. This is very interesting.
Here's this group. The entire city of Pisidia, Antioch.
Yeah.
Hometown almost.
On turf,
Almost hometown for Paul. He presents this message. One group, they say, okay, let me just listen to this and start living this message. And here's a message of Jesus. Here's another group. They know really, really, really well, everything really well about God, about the laws and about everything, and the Moses and so forth, but they completely reject it. So this is what we will talk about after the break, but we still have a couple of seconds.
So I kind of look at it like Paul says to them, you know the truth. The truth that you know, it's still valid, but let me just enlarge that for you.
Yes.
Let me teach you some general principles here. And some people react to that by saying, wow, there's so much more here that I never even realized. Yeah. And some people react by saying, you can't change, what I believe. You can't move my cheese.
Right.
the way it has been understood in the past is the only way it can be understood.
But this is so important, because in order to accept anything, you need to be in humility. You need to be humble.
Of course.
Humble.
Absolutely.
So if we are humble, then our hearts are opened. And God doesn't want anything but humble hearts.
Yes.
Yep.
And this is where we see people who the world has humbled and who life has humiliated. They're already there, and they tend to respond very positively to the gospel. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so we will talk about rejection, finally.
Can't wait.
So after this break, we will continue our conversation, and we will talk about a group of people, religious leaders, who completely rejected the message of Jesus. So stay with us. Welcome back to Cross Connection and Cross Connection Acts. So what we talk about is actually an interesting reception of the message. The first group, they accepted the message, but second group rejected the message. Let's read verse 45. So we just read that some Jews, many Jews, it says many of the Jews and devout proselytes, so those who were converted from Gentiles, they followed Paul and Barnabas in verse 43 and now verse 45. And Sergio, could you read verse 45?
It says, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul.
Okay, so look at this. Like, what can we say about this group?
They didn't have the crowd.
Yeah.
They've been telling the same story for forever, and they're not getting the results they want.
Right.
What would be interesting to me to know is if some of these people who were filled with jealousy are some of the same people who followed them the previous Sabbath and who were all supportive.
It's a good point, because they are not described as being ideologically opposed, or at least that's not what's motivating their rejection and their anger. That it is envy, it is jealousy at the crowds. Oh, these people are drawing a crowd that I never got that kind of a crowd, and that is what's motivating them. So I think it's an interesting question. Yeah,
and they asked them to come back the next Sabbath.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
So like, oh man, can you come do that again?
These are all repeat listeners.
Like,
crowds are a little too big.
But it's interesting how, like, if you have presupposition, they already have a presupposition. They have this envy. Oh, you have so many crowds. So let me oppose to you.
Right.
So they oppose not based on the message, but just based on presuppositions.
Right.
And this is what we often see in our world.
I think that's why this is such an interesting study, where we broke down the message in the last study, but to take the time to examine the reaction, because this is one of the few times where we see a message delivered and it's not just one reaction like you mentioned, where someone is stoned, or someone is dragged out of the city,
or
whatever.
Cornelius, immediate conversion of the entire household.
The whole spectrum.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Here we have a spectrum, and we get in looking at that, we get to see and examine what are the mindsets, what are the heart spaces that people can be in order to see how they respond to the gospel. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it applies to everyday life as well.
Yeah,
because so many times we accept some ideas based on the fact that we just belong to a certain group.
Right.
And it doesn't even matter that the fact that is presented makes sense and it's truthful. Right. But just because we belong to a certain group,
you accept it. Yeah.
We accept this even fairy tale.
Right.
You turn off your brain, your logic, and you just accept it. Just because
we hate another group.
Right.
Just like we belong to this group and we dislike that group that presents the new information. So let's just accept whatever we have, even though it's nonsense.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And this applies to any part of our lives, any niche.
And as we explored in the last episode, the message they were delivering had a few elements, that it was scripture as pointing to Jesus. It's all about Jesus, that Jesus fulfills scripture, and ultimately this challenge: are you going to let this message change you? And it can be a threat to go, oh wait, this is all about someone else. Wait, so it's not about me and my tribe anymore. Yeah. Like, no, I don't like that. You know, I'm not going to respond to that.
Let's see what it says. Actually, the following verse says it, and it's interesting, the reaction of Paul and Barnabas to their envy.
Yes.
Mars, what can we find there?
47?
46.
46.
Yes.
Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles.
Hmm. Yes. So
a partial hardening.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's interesting in how Paul speaks to it so immediately and so boldly. Again, we just see this boldness from Paul come. But I think we see that, the ultimate message of the gospel is revealed in their reaction to it. Because it's like, you know what, you reject it, fine. But this message is going to the ends of the earth. So you can reject it if you want, but this message is for everybody. And for some people, I guess that's not a good thing. If your whole belief system is built around, wait, no, we're the special group. It's just us. We get all the kudos. We get all of everything. And the gospel is really maybe the opposite of that.
Yeah, message. And it's amazing what we see here is just the second half of the same verse. I like just second halves of verses. So it's just verse 46, and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life. So often we think of, and we talk about God judging us and God being the judge, which is true. He's the judge, of course. But oftentimes
we condemn ourselves.
We actually judge ourselves unworthy of by rejecting. Mm-hmm. So if sometimes we say, oh, but how will God judge us and will shut the doors of heaven? Of course, because you judged yourself. You rejected.
You made that choice.
His judgment,
it's your choice.
His judgment will just reveal your own choice about your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right, because God's judgment is a judgment of grace. A judgment of mercy.
And diagnosis.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, he diagnoses you as being unwilling to participate.
So the rejection, because you see, this rejection is not just pure, not a desire to listen. This rejection is a fully blown rejection. Like contradicting and blaspheming. They're contradicting, they're blaspheming, they're talking, basically like all this stuff.
Right.
This is the judgment that they bring on themselves.
Right.
And in this world today as well. So if you reject the message of Jesus Christ, do not think that you will be saved. It's just because you can't, because you already reject. You reject.
If you don't want to be
wishfully.
Saved, why would God
yeah,
save
exactly.
you?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right. But it is about not liking that thing. You know, this idea of a kingdom in which no one is where everyone is accepted, where a God whose grace is for everyone. There are those who go, no, I don't like that. I don't like that idea. And that's their prerogative.
Because I want it to be exclusive.
Right, exactly. I liked the version where I was the star. I liked the version where I was the big deal. And that's people's prerogative to choose that. But if that is your choice, then you're not going to like the gospel.
You know what's interesting is that he says it's necessary that it be told to these people first.
Yes.
Mm. Wow.
That's be told to the people who's going to reject it first.
Right.
So that the other people will have a chance to accept it. And it'll go on about this in Romans.
And in so doing, it gets defined. This thing that is rejected by people who want to keep things only for themselves, that's what this is. You know?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
And we just need to remember that personal agenda, like in this case, it just plays such an important role in our rejection oftentimes. Mm-hmm. That we completely disregard the message entirely.
Right.
And this is a problem. Because when the scripture is given to us, we need to open our minds. We talked about it multiple times. Open our minds and be humble to say, you know what? This might be the right message. And once again, as we talk about, whenever we talk about the scripture, it always challenges us.
Yes.
It's not about improvement of our lives.
Yes.
It's about completely turning our lives upside down.
Right.
And starting a new life.
That's right. Well, we've got to take a short break, but we will be right back taking a look at the final reaction here on Cross Connection Acts. Thanks for joining us here on Cross Connection Acts, and we've been taking a look at this spectrum of reactions that we see to the message of the gospel as proposed by Paul and Barnabas, and we're now going to take a look at the final reaction that we encounter.
Exactly, and for that we need to read verse 50. So we can read 49 and 50. Let's read verse 49 and 50. And Sergio, could you read this verse?
Yes. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region.
So we talked about the first reaction, which is acceptance. The second reaction was rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And the third reaction is actually persecution.
Yeah, yeah.
So why do you think this happens? Why persecution happens? Like, what did they do? What wrong did they do? Were they revolutionaries who...
I think we see a progression here in how you would relate to the gospel message.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
First, it's, wow, this is great. Me too? Awesome. Yeah. This is great. The second is, oh, I don't like what that does for me and my current worldview and my current standing in the world. I don't like that. And there's the final group that we're exploring now that is outright threatened by the gospel message, saying that, you know what, this, you lording over other people, that's not, that's not what the gospel is about. And it is an actual threat to them. And so they respond in kind by persecution, trying to wipe it out.
And it's interesting how the persecution is actually triggered by the religious leaders in association with chief men, with mayor and chief men of the city. So political, religious leaders and political leaders, they come together in this goal, persecution of Christians.
And what was it that the gospel speaks against? one of the things it speaks against is the use of power to coerce.
Yes.
And
yes.
So what do? They don't like that, so they use power
to coerce. Yes. Jesus broke down the gospel message very simply to James and John when they wanted power, right? They were like, hey, we want to be on your right and your left hand. And he says, wait a minute, no, you want to be great, you have to be like a slave. Mm-hmm. You must be a servant of all. And this is the gospel. Jesus exemplified that on the cross. Mm-hmm. Completely inverse view of power. If you want to save the world, then you die for everyone, you know. And for these people in power, then, yeah, that is a threat to them. Because, again, taking a look at who is reacting, as you pointed out, it's prominent women, chief men of the city, people in power. And they're going to respond very angrily to this message.
So this is a question that I actually am struggling with for a long time. Because when we look at the church history, we will see that the majority of persecution that is done by church. So just church is persecuting church members, church goers. It's just like, what is going on? Christians are persecuting Christians.
Yeah.
This is what we usually see throughout the history. So why do you think that happens? What do you think it means?
People just feel such a strong motivation to protect what they think is true that they're willing to go to any length to do that.
Right.
And I got to say, if you call yourself a Christian and you are persecuting others or attacking others that disagree with you, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
That is not what Christianity is.
Right, right. And when you look at these chief things that motivate what Jesus calls us to do, things like humility and love for people, even people that hate you, and not seeking things for yourself in the world, but instead promoting someone else, Jesus, and helping others. When we create these power structures in our communities, they are a danger to these things. And we see in this early church, a few studies ago, we explored how the notion of church was not a building, but it was people who were called out and people that existed in a structure where it was very flat. There was no chief whatever and all kinds of high-ranking officials. The people we're reading about, Paul and Barnabas, an extremely humble life. They're getting stoned. They're getting beaten up. They don't have a home. They're just moving around very humbly. And that is what the church was. And I think any time the church starts to persecute itself, it's because it's deviating from what a church is.
And there's nothing wrong with structure.
Right.
It's only when the structure is used coercively to control, to silence, that's when it becomes a problem. But structure is not inherently wrong.
Right, but structure is really speaking towards function. You know what I mean? Like, we're all part of the body of Christ.
Yes, exactly.
Someone's the hand. Someone is the head. Someone is the mouth.
Exactly.
Someone is the feet. But, there's no, you wouldn't pick, this finger rules over this finger. Mm-hmm. You know, they all have a function. But when you create a power systems, then that is now speaking to our own desires to...
Hierarchy.
Yeah,
to control.
Yeah, exactly, to coerce and control. Yeah.
But it's very interesting how... What happens, like when we talk about acceptance, it's mainly Jews and also some Gentiles who became Jews first, and then they learned the message of Jesus. So this is acceptance. When we talk about rejection, it's also mainly Jews. Jews and some Gentiles who were accepted and then they're also rejecting. But Jewish leaders. But when it comes to persecution, this is when the Gentiles are actually joining the church, seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then persecution begins. Verse 48. Chapter 13, verse 48. This is what it says. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And then the following verse 50 says, and then the Jews and some chief and prominent people, then they became to persecute. So when the church grows significantly, when you see that more and even more and even more people are joining the church, when you see the power of the Holy Spirit acting.
Yes.
Then these people, they start persecuting.
When the unworthy outsiders start to come in.
When it gets uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yes.
When the Spirit starts to take you out of your comfort zone and it starts to put you with people that you don't want to be around.
Yeah. Right.
So we're looking at today's world and today's Christianity and just what would be our response? Because it's just... it's easy to talk about the story back in the days, but what should we do? Like, what would you do?
I don't know. I look at it. Well, all of it looks like prophecy to me. All of it looks like the parable of the sower. All of this stuff has been predicted by Christ. Mm-hmm. All of it, he said this would happen, and we're seeing it happen now in Acts. Mm-hmm. Literally, the way the parable of the sower goes, you're seeing that acted out. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't. It seems like that's the nature of redemption right. in a fallen world. Right. I don't know mm-hmm. any other way around it, right. but it just seems like prophecy.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Right. I guess I don't, even in hearing you talk, I'm not putting myself in the shoes of Paul and Barnabas, who are having their message accepted by some and rejected by others. I'm putting myself in the people there in Pisidian Antioch. How am I going to receive this?
Yes.
How am I going to react? How am I... It, really, where's my mind at? Where mm-hmm. is my heart at? And this is because... It's going to be, you know, people are going to, there's a broad spectrum that you could choose, but we do have a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think what speaks to me is actually verse 52. After seeing all this reaction, after seeing reaction of acceptance, after seeing reaction of rejection, after seeing the reaction of persecution, I mean, this is what they do. The disciples, like, this is just mind-blowing. Yeah. Right. Look, verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
This is it. This is it. And wow. and I think what Sergio you pointed out is very crucial because who am I? Yeah. What role am I taking? Right. It's not about my message because right. I'm not given any message. The message right. The message is just this message.
Mm. Right.
The message of Jesus Christ that he yeah. crucified. This right. is who I preach. Paul will say it all the time. Right. Mm. This is who I preach. So right. am I the persecutor?
Yeah.
Am I
And I think of this last verse. They're filled with joy in the Holy Spirit after just being beaten up and kicked out of a city. Why? Why are they
because,
filled with
because
joy?
Because that's what Jesus said to do.
Right.
He said, rejoice and be glad when they persecute you, because in the same way they did it to the prophets who were before
you. I think it's
you.
That. Yeah. And I think they're also rejoicing that some people did accept. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you're the kind of person that needs to view things in a way that everyone needs to accept, well, now you're a powerful person trying to coerce people mm. and force people into something they don't want. People are going to choose what they're going to choose, but some people chose the gospel yes. that day, and Paul yes. and Barnabas rejoiced over
and it. And how humble would you have to be able to rejoice and be filled with joy after you just got yeah. beat up?
Amen.
They must
excellent.
Have something
excellent.
Special.
Thank yep. you so very much for joining us. It was a great study. I really enjoyed it. And thank you so much for joining us today as well. Following Jesus isn't always easy. Sometimes it can even lead to trouble. But remember, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're also filled with joy. Until next time, stay connected with Jesus in your everyday life and also here on Cross Connection Acts.